Boom, 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 boom. Welcome aboard, everybody. So how do they spin those things?
It's like they do it by machine. And then they'll shear them off when they get the length that they want. Because they can make any length they want. You know, after they get the tip, the action that they want figured out, they'll make from 6'8" to, you could probably have a giant ass Back to the Future type rod if you wanted.
Right.
Some bitch would reach the clouds.
Right. I'm totally digging this setup. Good job, Brandon.
Yeah,
man. Man, unbelievable. You ordered this thing on Amazon and you got it in 2 hours. We're talking about our microphone setup. We're going high tech right now at the Rockin' Star Ranch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't burn our solar powered air conditioner, but it's set up. We need the ice for it. But how do you like that? If you were camping.
Bro, that's like, it's all you need.
I mean, you don't need nothing else, really. You know, you need some cool air when you're camping.
That sleeping on, you're sleeping, that's all you need.
Yeah, and
comfortable air.
Right, so basically I took an old Coleman cooler, I cut a round hole in the top of it, I got a small fan, and then I got this drainage angle there.
It's for
a downspout.
Yeah.
Got that sticking out of the top. Now you can actually attach a hose to that and shove it up in your sleeping bag. But just turn it on, solar power panels in the back. But you need ice. We need the ice. The cool bags that I got, the freezer bags, don't really cut it.
You definitely need some, what do they call it? Have them up at Denatanos in Loveland. The commercial size. It's an air cooler. It's not an air conditioner. It doesn't.
Right.
You don't have a condensation line. It's basically the same concept as what you've done, but the output is got like a
that's what I need.
A 28-inch fan on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
need some output.
That shit will part hair if you sit in front of it. They have to turn it down. If that mist, it's just cool air.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's pulling crazy amps.
Right.
Because it's super quiet.
Well, we're blowing this. This is why
we're not. Pigeons? Or am I just.
What? Pigeons?
Yeah, do you hear that?
Pigeons?
Yeah.
Maybe you're probably hearing the same thing Stormy hears. Your head's kind of angled the same way.
like
all of a sudden we're looking. We got bats. Okay, now there could be a few pigeons in here, but we got a lot of birds around the barn here and stuff. This is bird heaven. Man, all the grain, got all the hay, got all the horsehair. Everything you need for a nice little bird nest build, you know? So that's pretty good. So Brandon Palmer's here with me on John Graves Kayak Fishing.
How you doing?
Brandon's from Little Miami Outfitters.
Yes, sir.
We're good, man. You know, Brandon, I was out there on the pond today thinking, dude, you ought to just start rolling some podcasts with me.
Yeah, I actually...
kind of fun to hang out with. You're kind of fun to hang out with.
Yeah, it's kind of a good thing when you get two kind of fun people together and kind of have fun just doing it. It's I love listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
And just the different, point of angles that everyone has.
Right.
You know, it's just, now some of them are, you know, not so good, I guess. They don't make sense, a lot of sense. But I mean, I listen to anything fishing.
Right.
Anything. What about you?
Me? To be honest with you, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
Oh man, you listen to Serious Angler?
No.
Oh.
Okay, but hold on.
Bailey and
it's Tyler.
You got it going.
It's. I don't listen. Unfortunately, I don't. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't. I don't read like I should. You've dropped off an amazing Fishing Ohio book for me to read, and I haven't even delved into it. I don't watch a lot of TV. The last time I really watched anything instructional was when Bill Dance Outdoors was huge, like big time. And I would sit around and not miss an episode of that. But the podcast, for me, in what I do, it's hard for me to listen to. You know, I do a lot of driving, but I can't listen to podcasts really while I'm doing it with Uber passengers.
Well, yeah.
And that kind of thing. You know, it's just not, you're not setting the...
Right.
I tell you, there's it's a small demographic who fishes out of kayaks.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't even understand it. It would be funny to actually play a podcast to see if anybody could absolutely understand the language and what the hell's going on.
What is a Ned rig?
Ned rig. We're talking about the Ned rig and up in a river and, you know. And, you know, podcasts are, I don't know. I'm surprised anybody actually listens to this one. But I have some people tell me that they do enjoy it. I appreciate that very much. It's humbling, actually. I love sharing. What I do like about podcasts, maybe this is why I don't listen to a lot of them. And maybe there have been stories on a lot of the podcasts because I don't listen to them a lot. I miss out on. But the storytelling. Real storytelling. I don't know, techniques and stuff like that. I guess I'm one of those weird people that just likes to kind of figure it out on my own, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
And I don't even know what. I'm into my own thing, and I share everybody's extreme passion for fishing. You know, from everybody, paddle and fin. Those guys up there in that podcast are the funnest dudes to hang out with, right? They are the absolute funnest to hang out with. And you got John Rapp and his podcast that's going on, Brad Hicks, his podcast that's going on, all that kind of stuff. I don't know, man. I haven't found the rhythm of sitting around and listening to podcasts, probably like I should. And that's probably why I'm missing out on learning, you know, doing some teaching myself, learning myself from listening to others and stuff like that. So
I'll mix it up. I'll go like a wide range of from the elites, like the MLF Big Five, and then I'll just go back and forth to either side. Whatever's available, I guess, the newest that I haven't listened to, because from all different perspectives, you kind of just listen to it, and over time, you just start to, like, tune it in, and it all kind of just seems to flow, you know?
Yeah.
Technique-wise, they can say whatever they want. Personally, myself, I'll go out, I won't try it. I'm going to fish my way. You know, it's all about, you know, they'll say stuff, they'll leave cracks open, and you can watch when they're fishing, especially the elites, because it's all, you know, it's all visible now. Like, they show everything.
Right.
And you match up what they say with how they fish, and, like, some of it's legit. Mm-hmm. Like, they're telling you what they're doing, but good luck trying to do it.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, was that the sound that you heard right there?
Dude, that's a turkey, I think. Got mad chickens out here. That's a big chicken, actually.
That's a big chicken. Isn't it?
That's a turkey. Okay. Oh, it is 20-03.
We have
out at the Rock and Star Ranch. And there's a 25-pound bird somewhere out there.
Somewhere. I hear that thing going on.
Yeah.
And we do have a big hen that runs through here every once in a while, like she's crazy, you know? And they, I mean, good Lord makes crazy turkeys too, you know. Sometimes their noodles aren't right, but
yeah, they're gobbling right now.
We got that 300 acres of woods right there, you know. So coyotes do dip out every once in a while in the middle of the noon. You'll go, God, what's that, a big coyote over there? You know, a big part of me thinking of, as I was out there fishing today on the pond and catching fish, by the way, with the Brian Thrift big bladed chatterbait. Jeez, old Pete. I can't wait to see Brian down at ICAST. I'm going to talk to him about that there. He's a Fitzgerald rod guy. He knows what American tackle components are all about. But that thing will catch fish in southwestern Ohio. It's got that big brassy blade on it, and it just looks good. That skirt flows real good. They bit the trailer off of it. I had a Kitech trailer on it. They destroyed that, but they still kept going at it. I don't know. Our trailer's overrated.
Does Z-Man make a paddle tail trailer? I think they do.
Yeah.
I don't see them often, though.
No.
You don't see them, whether you're searching or if you're looking for a trailer, I don't see a lot of Z-Man paddle tails. You see everything else they make.
Right.
Because You've right. seen people stretch those damn things.
Yeah.
Good luck tearing it off.
They do. They do make swim baits.
Would you ask? I'm sorry.
Are swim baits or trailers overrated?
Oh, I was saying this the other. Who was I saying this the other day? I don't even remember who I was talking to. For a trailer, I mean, yeah. For spinner baits, I mean, it's. I think it's kind of. It kind of just puts off that school of fish tail because they don't really right. see everything. They see the blades and then the tail. And the tail helps bump more.
Right.
But on like bladed jigs,
right.
I use it.
You know, this could be life-changing.
It's monumental, man.
Look at this. So this we were talking earlier about what he had ordered, and it came to his house within a couple hours. He went on Amazon, and you found a couple microphones for podcasting and things like this. It says life-changing interview set. And, boy, it works out pretty good. So Power DYs, easy vlogging. Words can change the life. Record them perfectly. So you never know what you're going to learn. You know, I was the whole not watching podcasts or not listening to them and stuff like that. It's not a stubbornness to the certain degree that I have. It's not an unwillingness I have. But I was thinking about that out there on the pond earlier today when I was throwing the big bladed chatterbait. And that's when I thought, man, you know, because you definitely do your homework. And you have a lot more knowledge than I do about the littler things, the components, the rod building, this, what kind of goes that, here, when. And I, to be honest with you, I enjoy that part of fishing, but I think it's the whole just having fun and talking about fishing that I really enjoy most of all. So to have you... To do some more podcasts with me, that's when I think I really start learning some good stuff.
Yeah, you just like going, you know, from, like I said on the last one, how much I've learned just by going around, being around all these anglers at all the Hobie events. You're not even there to, I guess, ask people for anything. You just listen to how people missed them, how they were catching them, what they were doing, And I mean, you're gonna fish your own way. You can't catch someone else's fish, for sure. I've tried it, it doesn't work.
Right. That's so true. Isn't it funny? Like, I mean, I could see why people black out the backgrounds of where they catch fish.
Yeah.
But there's no way in hell that I could ever catch fish like Brad Hicks. Exactly. There's no way.
Yeah, river fishes.
I could never do that. I could never. His technique,
yeah.
It's the wrist, it's the...
He's got to figure out once it hits that yes. seam, he knows where the seam drops and like what's beyond that seam.
Right.
He knows, say there's a hole down towards him and he'll strip it across or let it fall down in it. He's been on the river catching smallmouths.
Not to pick on Brad Hicks, but actually put him up there as an example. Not to say that he's blacking out all his pictures or anything like that, but it's funny when that happens because it's just, there's no way I could never fish like this person or that person when they got that particular technique down.
No, no. It's hard to mirror anyone's
right.
way of fishing, you know, because everyone fishes different, they think different, their approach is not going to be the same, you know, someone's not going to want to do maybe the way you approach an area to fish it how you would. So it's like, I enjoy all of it, like you said, you know. And that's what, going back to listening to the podcast about how guys are doing, like Andy Fool on the Serious Angler podcast. Dude's up in Buffalo just killing. And he'll tell you exactly what he's doing, where, like how far out he goes from post spawn, and then how far he moves out, like, and he tells you exactly everything. It's like he's just telling you out of the enjoyment out of all. He's a guide too, so it's like you're not gonna go take his job,
right?
You know,
just by hearing those words.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Here's how you're gonna do it. Go do it.
Right. Good luck.
Right.
Good luck.
If that was the case, we'd all be Kevin Van Damme's.
Imagine the amount of money. I wonder, like, the first time he ever picked up a square bill, if he ever looked at it and said, I think I'm gonna end up making $10 million in my lifetime off this thing.
Off of this little square bill.
A damn crankbait.
Yeah.
And just,
Kevin.
No one fishes him like him. Yeah. And have you seen how aggressive he is with those damn things?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he's not easy with them.
Right.
And, like, they yeah, said.
He beats them up.
Yeah,
he said
he just breaks them.
Yeah.
And like, last time when he won on Chick, he was just popping it and just bouncing it, banging it off of that shit. And it's like, you know, what to do. You just don't go out there and do it.
Because he's got $500 worth of Strike King shallow crankbaits and brand new, just waiting to be all beat up.
Yeah, he's
a superstar. There's no doubt. He was pretty legit dude to approach down at ICAST too. Some of the others, you get this kind of like, oh man, but Kevin, he was on it, man. He was spot on and busy too. You can imagine how busy that dude was. But to take the moment, you know, and just chill for a second and kind of allow you to be in his world.
Well, yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, the Tiger Woods of bass fishing almost.
I would say.
You know, he's by far made the most money.
Right.
And like,
he's worth like about $6 million.
I think closer to 8. Seriously. It's like close to 8. And that's just prize winning. That's not endorsements.
Right.
You know.
God bless. Did I ask you this already? Who's your favorite pro out there right now?
I gotta go with the Aussie. Carl.
Carl?
Jockinson.
Right.
Him
looks good.
Yeah, he's so proud of and grateful about everything he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's gotten better each year. And I love it when he's winning. Because that dude swings for the fence.
Right.
You know, who goes out and fishes an elite tournament and throws only glide baits?
Right.
And I mean, he almost pulled it off a Chick.
Right.
But that's just how he is. I love that mentality. You know? And he's a marketing man. Everyone's just grabbing him and throwing everything they can on him or on his boat or on it. Like, look at Hobie. Right. Hobie's his title sponsor, I do believe. Yeah. That tells you, like, he's working both sides of it.
Yeah.
And the guy's a magnet for it.
Right.
I just think guys like, and he really does it. I'm not saying it's effortless, but it's natural to him. It's fun. Fun to watch, for sure. But what about you?
I love Gerald Swindle just because he's so damn funny. I just want to go fishing with
Gerald
Swindle.
I just want to see one in one.
I know.
I mean, good lord.
Yeah, that's right. It'll come to him. You know, it'll come to him. He's just so damn funny. Jared Swindle, I like the young Jordan Lee a lot. I like his attitude. But there's no doubt, nobody will ever replace Bill Dance in my head. You know, nobody will ever reach the magnitude of what he has done. That's who I'm influenced by. It's not a particular fisherman. It's more of an entertainer in fishing that I'm influenced by, you know, not the technique of the professional fisherman, but the professional life of the showmanship of Bill Dance. That's what I've always really been influenced heavily by.
Jimmy's fun to watch, but I would like to run into David Fritz. He like, I think that guy actually like originated the crankbait.
Right.
Like, this is the one that's pioneered with the mate. You know, made most of it what it is and what it started out being. I mean, he was always a fun guy to read about and see on Saturdays. We never got to see it like they see it now as far
right.
as coverage and exposure.
No. Those dudes back then had cigarettes hanging out of their mouths and with a Miller beer on board. That was the best ever.
Yeah.
I mean, who was it? Who's the guy that wore the cowboy hat back then? I remember that dude with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Oh,
and then when
yeah.
he'd hook up, he'd take the cigarette, hold it between his index finger and his middle finger, and sit there and reel it up while he's holding the cigarette. And you think about that nowadays, it's amazing. And right before he flips it up, he has to put the cigarette in his mouth. You know? Those were the days. Sponsored by Miller High Life, you know? The Bassmaster Classics. It's amazing. Okay, I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit and ask you something. Have you ever had sex in a public park? Mm. I mean, you just ever had just freaking unadulterated sex in a public park? Mm. Okay, you don't necessarily have to answer that right now because I'm not really wanting your answer, but I am going to introduce what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm at Cowan yesterday.
Right.
It's 4:30... 4:40, around that time, a.m. in the morning. Quiet. There's no birds. There's no frogs.
You got there before the birds woke up.
I get there before all of it wakes up. The sun's not even coming up. I love it. It's the most, to me, it's the best time. You know, I get there early. I got a cup of coffee, and I am the only one at the dock.
I've noticed that about you before we actually become... even talking, really, I noticed that there was two tournaments. I get there fairly well. I thought I got there early, but you were sitting there on the water
waiting
2 hours before the lines.
Yes, yes. I'm weird.
It's pretty like, no, dude, it's cool. It's like the best time ever.
It is
I
the best time.
I love that time.
It's the best time, man, because you're just seeing life just come to life,
to life,
you know.
Yeah.
And well,
I guess you saw something else coming.
I did, man. So, I'm getting chills now thinking about it. Because it was really kind of like, it nerved me in a couple different ways. Okay, so, I'm taking the inflatable, the iTrek 9 inflatable up to Cowan. We got a tournament there next week. Cincinnati Kayak Fishing Tournament. Sign up for it right now. On Tourney X.
$35.
Yes, can't beat it. Put the $10 down for big bass.
I actually paid it this time.
Yeah, can't beat it because all you need is one big bass. And you got, what, a check for $300-$500 maybe?
$400.
Think about it.
Well, I don't know how many signed up, but yeah.
I mean, think about it. 80 people, that's $800.
One swing of the bat.
Back out.
It's in the boat.
Bring it up. That's all you need is one.
You're winning.
And that could be a 19-3 quarter.
Yeah.
Could be a 20 maybe.
Cowan? Yeah.
I mean,
you know.
Sometimes.
Could win more than first place.
Right. So I was excited to get up there and see the lily pads. I don't fish the east side of Cowan a lot. You know, back in the creek and the lilies and all that kind of stuff. And normally I'm up on the other side, North Shore. And so I got the inflatable. I drove it there in the Sonata. It cost me maybe $3 in gas to drive there. And I pull it out back and I'm starting to inflate. I got all of my hardware out. I got all the rods out. I set them up on the dock. I got the pump out, set it up on the dock. I got the removable rudder, set it up on the dock. I got the seat out, set it up on the dock. I got the Yak Gadget Low Pro crate, set it up on the dock. I got all of my gear except the actual iTrek 9 still in the car. And I hear in the quiet, what I can only describe right now. Dude, I'm getting chills again.
I see that. Like, legit. Like, straight up chills. Like,
look at my freaking legs, dude. Ah!
What did you see, man?
Dude, it was what I heard.
Oh.
It sounded like a woman getting the shit beat out of her.
Oh.
Immediately. Her screaming.
Really?
Her grunting. Her getting choked, her saying, God, and I can hear this off into what I thought was another parking lot that's up from that ramp that I was in, right?
Right.
And I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, what the is that? And I hear a man. And it just sounds like a man grunting to control a woman or to just, like he's beating the hell out of her. Is all I could imagine. And this went on for about maybe 20 or 30 seconds, which seemed like eternity.
Right.
You know, and finally I'm going, okay, this woman needs help. After about the second time I heard her say, oh God, I'm thinking she needs help right now. And shit. And I'm going, all my stuff's on the dock. And
right.
I'm going, okay, what do I do? So I just get in the car and drive up there, and all this shit's racing through my head within just seconds, okay? So I don't care what people think about me. I'm always packing. And I have been when it was illegal. Okay? I'm always packing.
Right.
And I'm sitting here thinking for the first time, am I actually going to have to use this thing right now?
It actually went through your mind?
It's going through my mind. All the legalese. Am I legal to have it? Am I legal to use it? Do I need to use it? I mean, this was just going through my mind. Boom, I got in the Sonata, and I'm going, how am I going to... And I started that thing. Oh, man, boom, I take off. I hit the brights, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to race up on this scene as fast as I can.
Right.
I'm going to blind them with the brightness.
Uh-huh.
And if I have to draw on this person, I'm going to draw, but I'm going to bum rush them.
Right, you won't know what's going on.
Boom!
Element of surprise, baby.
And then the seatbelt is just yelling at me because I don't have it on. Ding! And that's all you hear from this car, because it's a hybrid. So it's not like I'm racing up with a big V8 Hemi.
Right.
You know, it's going, whoa, 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 ding, 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 ding. And I'm going, oh my God. So I pull up, and there's a champagne-colored older Mercedes parked there. And in front of it is two people laying on a blanket. Okay, so I pull up, boom, I stop. I'm in there like SEAL Team 6, man. And I got a big old headlamp, and I turn it on, and I shine it right in this dude's face. And I'm going, hey, is everything okay? And he kind of looks up at me. And I want to hear the girl.
Sure.
But she's just laying there.
Right.
They're laying next to each other, facing each other, laying. I'm going, and I'm also thinking, okay, here's my 9mm right here.
Right.
I don't have it yet, but I'm going to pick it up. Does he have a gun on her, making her... This is all going through my mind.
Sure, sure.
And I said, hey, is everything okay? And the dude looks up and has this, like, nervous smile on his face. And he goes, yeah, everything's cool, man. And I'm like, are you sure? I'm not hearing the girl, and I hear the girl all of a sudden go, this is so embarrassing.
Mm.
And I went, wait a minute, are you guys having sex? Are you kidding me? Are you guys? And the guy just laughs a little bit, the girl's kind of burying her head. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I was like, oh my God. I said, dude, it sounded like you were murdering her.
Good job.
Okay. You know, so anyway, that was my Callan early morning experience.
Where was it? What?
That back ramp where they got the dredger.
Oh,
the
lily
pads.
Yeah.
There's another parking lot that's up from there.
Right.
I was at the ramp.
I got you.
The farthest ramp to the little in the back, and that next parking lot, and they were up there. Who does that at 4:30 a.m.?
Yeah, that's a little...
That's excessive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the fact that you cared enough is pretty awesome, though. I mean, what do you do in that situation? Exactly what you did? I mean, it's almost like... Nowadays, I don't know, dude. Is it, like, consensual? Is it not? What the hell's going on? Do I need the help?
Sounded rough. So, a couple things. Who has sex in a public park that early in the morning? Not that it's acceptable any time. At least be in your tent. And if you're in your tent or your cabin cruiser or whatever it is, you can keep the volume down. But they probably weren't expecting somebody there at 4:30 a.m.
But yeah, the angler should be showing up in an hour or so, and it's like they don't know John. They don't know John.
They don't know
you with your coffee, man. They don't know that. They don't know that this bird shows up at 4:30.
Oh my God. That nerved me. It nerved me in a couple ways. One, the sound of her. What I didn't know, she was actually enjoying herself.
Mm.
You know, who does that? I mean, you know, come on. And then, I mean, do you need to take it there? And then maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. But the fact that they were actually having sex and once I found that out, that really nerved me up to the point where I'm like, man, I was about to draw a gun on this guy with what they were doing.
Yeah, it's...
And there's people, there's like houses all over the place there in that park.
Especially down that way.
You know? And you can hear... And you know, man, when you hear stuff on the water, it just travels.
Yeah, especially if it's that quiet. And it's got those trees and the flat water. It'll just hit.
Right.
You can hear everything on the water that early.
Yeah. I had to pause when I first, because I thought, you've heard of bobcat in heat. Those things scream, and they sound like a man getting shredded, you know? I mean, they have some... I took baby doll for the first time. She is not an outdoor person. She is not a hunter or fisherman. She agrees with it. She doesn't mind it, but it's something that she doesn't do. For the very first time, I took her out on a bow hunt. In public land. I said, it'll be cool. It'll be awesome. Nobody be out there. We went out to East Fork, something just to warm her up a little bit. Get her out there early in the morning, 5:15 a.m. when it's still kind of dark. You walk back into the woods, you know, about maybe a half mile. We got about 400 meters back there, and a bobcat lit up in heat. And the scream from that just petrified her.
Could you imagine if you'd taken her fishing for the first time that early with you, and then you run into that situation yesterday, and she'd be like, all right, you know what?
You're not going fishing again.
I don't know what the hell it is you'd actually do out here this early, but I'm not a fan. No, I swear. It's not like that.
Yeah. Damn. I'm sure there's other stories, but that was mine. I've actually seen people having sex on a picnic table at Stone Lake Lake in the middle of the day.
Really?
I was on a Sea Eagle pond down the Sea Eagle. 11-foot pontoon. Trying that bad boy out, and there I am, and it's so quiet because you're just floating, drifting. I just float around the corner, and there they were, just going at each other on a picnic table.
Hold up, let me bounce back to the bobcat heat thing. It's going to sound weird, but I think that's what I heard down in Kentucky a few weeks ago, and I could not figure out for the life of me what it was.
Yeah,
because I mean, you go out enough times, like you just said, early in the morning, you can pretty much tell what ammo it is, what they're doing, calling, whatever. I couldn't figure out what it was. It was a loud yell, like a screech.
Yeah.
It wasn't an owl.
No. It almost sounds like a woman screaming.
Yeah, it was like a loud pitch.
Yes.
But I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, I don't know what it is. And it lasted. It was a long, like,
what the shit?
Yeah, so I was like, wow, what is that? And then it kept doing it. I was like, whatever.
Bobcat. Two of them probably facing each other, looking at each other, man, getting ready to just... And bobcat fights pretty ferocious, too, to hear one of them. They go at it. Hearing a couple bucks fight, that's what I really like. During that, you know, time, during when it's on, and when that estrus is just getting pissed all over the place, and those bucks are getting mad, and it sounds like a Vega.
You can
like
hear that.
A Vega station wagon crashing over the cliff.
It's a loud thump. It's pretty fun to hear.
I love it.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, man. Good stuff. So, I had a couple things. I had to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that off your chest. I hadn't.
I did. I'm. It is what it is.
So, the next time will you approach, or were you, like, restrained from being,
No, I mean, if I hear somebody like that again, I'm certainly going to try to do what I can to thwart the attack, but... I might be a little bit more cautious.
Maybe take a laser light with you and just kind of shine it around or something.
Maybe I'll just approach him with a little bit more of the softer side of Sears with the kayak.
Like, hey!
Come around the water side.
Yeah.
You know, hit him up that way. Or maybe just join in. Ooh. You know?
I mean, that really no one has to see your face, so no one will know.
I think dressing up next time, I'm going to TikTok it, and because I don't know why I didn't do it this time. Yeah, it would have been a viral, man. Ooh. I'll dress up like Bigfoot.
God.
Scare the hell. I think she just scared the hell out of him. But you don't know, man. I mean, the whole thing was, it wasn't like you go, oh my God, listen to what they're doing. You know, usually you have those signal sounds, you know, from coming from the hotel room, like next door, like, you know, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And you got a rhythm to it, you know. And when someone's getting their ass beat, there's no rhythm to it. And the whole choking thing just really kind of disturbs me. You're like, okay, this is weird. Now, I do understand people like to mix a little violence with sex sometimes.
You never know. They just could have been trying it for the first time.
They weren't first timers. There's no way.
Like, I got a good look.
There's no way. They were first timing that. They were pros if they were. They central casting for that kind of stuff then. Mm.
Well,
I don't know. So you're driving down the road with your significant other at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're like, hey, you know, it's, you know, it's, you ever been to Cowan Lake?
Get out and choke the shit out of you.
Right. You ever been to Cowan Lake? It's just so weird to me.
How'd you do that day yesterday?
I caught a couple fish.
Did you?
Yeah. And there's a lot of fish moving in them lily pads there.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they were carp or bass, but you know, when the wind was down, you see that one lily pad just moving, like they're just feathering it. You see it just shaking a little bit. So you could see that. I will say this, given Strictly Sail and Kayak, located in Blue Ash, Ohio. They've been there since 1978, a shout out. If you want to fish the lily pads, you've got to be a lily pad. And so the iTrek 9 is there is nothing out there better getting into those lily pads than an inflatable flat.
Just blow right across the top.
The fish think you are a lily pad. It was beautiful. I worked all the way back into those things.
Wow.
All the way back into them through the thick. There's a couple little channels that have been cut or dredged, people have hammered back through there and whatever. One guy got his bass boat caught in it. Got those lily pads all caught up in his trolling motor. He wasn't going nowhere. They are, and they're big, thick things, like a garden hose.
Yeah, they're hardy.
And they're fresh and green right now. Man. What do you do in that situation?
I don't know. I tend to just, if it gets shallow and it's real hot like now, I won't mess with them. I'll fish the outside of them.
Yeah.
But I'm done wasting my time getting way inside those things. It's right. Like, oh, there's got to be something way back here in the middle of, you know, this 1 foot water that's 88 degrees.
Right.
Right. Yeah. They're just like people. They don't want to be up in that shit.
Yeah, no.
They want to be in cover, under cover, in front of cover, on that line, in shade. They're not going to be cooking. So I'm done messing with those lily pads.
I bet those lily pads actually create a lot of heat up underneath them, too.
Well, they're going to create shade, but if that water's 2 feet, right. I mean, early in the morning, yes.
Right.
They'll probably go back in there and destroy something, but throughout the day, they move out of there. It's just, and there's no air back there. I've heard people doing good back there, but
yeah, there's no air.
I don't get it.
I didn't see anybody hooping and hollering. Didn't see anybody pulling anything out. I only caught one, but unfortunately, I couldn't submit it in the tournament. Oh man, that season long tournament.
Oh,
it was under 12.
Oh,
well, actually, no. It was under 14, which is I need everything 14 to start calling out and other stuff there, but. Yeah, anyway. Well, let's take a break. We'll take a break.
Cool.
Right now. Get some fresh. Unfortunately, can't run the homemade hillbilly air conditioner right here, but I think it looks pretty cool anyway.
Redneck ingenuity, but that's kind of like premium.
I want to go. I'm going to put the tent up outside here and set it up in the tent just to see how
I'm going
to
go home and cut one of my coolers up and make one.
Cut up
serious.
Cool.
Hey, look what John showed me. Destroy all of our coolers.
Take the jigsaw to it, man, because I tried it with a razor blade at first and it wasn't happening. Boom. We'll be right back.
John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by the American Tackle Company. If you plan on going to ICAST down in Orlando in just a couple weeks, please stop by our booth. We'd love to see you. We invite you to experience our American Tackle product gallery at ICAST of 2022. It's absolutely the world's largest fishing tackle industry trade show. See our line of rod components along with the 2023 new product introductions. This show is the highlight of our year, and we would love to see you there. Come by booth number 4030 and please say hello. You can't miss these American Tackle events. Tuesday, July 19th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is ICAST on the water. It's hands-on product demos, and it's all the new product introductions. And then Wednesday, July 20th, that is from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the American Tackle Press Conference, and that's in room S220A, and that's Youth Fishing Combo Introduction Announcement, along with the Autism Anglers American Tackle Partnership discussion. That is Wednesday, July 20th. And then on Thursday, the big event, the Wave Army Reception Social Hours from 4 to 6 p.m. There's free food, drinks, live music, and a lot of giveaways. We have live demos and rod building every day at booth 4030. You're going to meet the world champion, Mark Krause, and he absolutely shows his magic using the carbon components, making your rod very, very unique. This guy knows how to do it. And there is nobody that is more fantastic on thread work than Mary Christie. And you have the opportunity to meet her and talk to her about some of her building techniques. So if you're a rod builder, man, and you need to go to ICAST 2022. It's going to be exciting. Stop by the American Tackle booth at 4030, number 4030. Don't forget that. I'll see you down there. So what's new with you, Brandon?
What is new? Well, I don't.
What's your bet? You got a big tournament coming up.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back up to St. Clair.
Right.
Yeah, in 9 days. Well, yeah, the 13th, my bad. But
Smalley Haven.
We can. Oh yeah, I'm stoked.
Oh my god. Do you get up there and do any pre-fishing?
This time I will. I mean, it's all. Yeah.
Do you need to?
I've never been up there this time of the year.
I guess not the spawn. That's the spawn. Right.
They're going to be cruising. I think it'll still be... Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to get up there and figure out what exactly they're doing and how different it's been from the last 2 years I've been up there. Because it's been spawn every time I've been up there before. And now I feel like those channels, those boats come in and out of, I think those will be a key. Because it's like 15 feet deep. That's the deepest, one of the deepest parts.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then those channels I was just talking about, they cut them a little deeper for those big cruisers, cabin cruisers. They go back into the neighborhoods and whatnot. But I think those will be a player. I hope. I don't want to go looking around for a smallmouth on a kayak.
You toss a goby. Little fake gobies.
Yeah. Those dark sleepers.
Yes.
Those can be good, but they don't always work. They don't always want that damn thing.
They probably get a lot of them.
They probably see so many gobies.
What the hell?
They're happy to eat other stuff.
Right.
They're like, oh, sweet, look at that. A Ned rig. I haven't seen one of those.
What would that be, like crayfish? Tossing crayfish down
there. Yeah, pretty much.
Ned rig. I'm just going with a simple Ned rig.
Yeah, Ned rig. It does it.
The more I have simplified my fishing, the better I've got.
Oh, dude, check this out. So I got the Craftsman drawer deal to go underneath the seat. I'm doing away with the crate because I don't like turning around like that.
Yeah, right.
My back sucks.
Right.
So I got these drawers are, they're pretty long and pretty wide. Everything is going in those drawers now, except terminal tackle, which it'll end up everywhere if you do that. So I'm keeping it in a small box.
It sets up underneath your seat.
You got two big drawers that come out, and they come right up between, like right in front of the hatch on the Hobie.
Oh.
And then you just push them back. They're on, ball bearing.
Oh, they're nice and smooth.
Yeah, they're quiet.
Oh,
yeah.
Because those things are normally loud.
Yeah, like.
And right
starting up a pinno.
Yeah.
You know,
like bang, crash. Well, that's all I'm using is two planos right now, so I'm down to that. Also, my soft plastics go in these little saddlebags on the Archer pretty well.
Now, I'll still obviously turn around for rod, change out rods, but I feel like the less time I'm turning around, the less wear it is on my back and my body, you know, because I just don't enjoy it.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't think I'm the only one.
Everyone's different, though.
You're sitting there, and it's 6-7 hours into a tournament. You're beat up. You've got one on board. You're in
77th place, and you haven't found that fire yet, and you're using the same lure, how often do you go, I don't even want to turn around? And to inconveniently reach back, way back in there to get something to change out that lure color or the shape or whatever it is. But if you had it right there where you could just simply pull it out from underneath you, you're probably more apt to change those lures and stuff rather than talk yourself out of it. I'm a lazy fisherman like that. I have been. I'm not now. I've tried to break that.
Yeah, and I mean, you're exactly right, because turning around, looking at your box, and I mean, it's all about convenience. And to have that drawer, and the fact that you don't have to flip nothing open, and it's making me sound lazy, but it's not about being lazy. I just don't want to get tired of turning around so much.
Right.
It's right underneath my ass, and I can pull that tray.
Yeah.
It's right there. Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking. And it gave me another reason to narrow down all my stuff, because 85-90% of the shit that I take, I don't use.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of that. It's like,
right, I got.
Why am I carrying around a mini A rig in August? It's like, I'll find it, like,
I might need it.
That little drawer underneath that I had, I was like, I found it. I couldn't find it, but when I switched out, I was like, oh, there it is. Yeah. And I mean, it's like, why do I eat, like, stuff like that?
I know. All of the, you know, the DTs, all of the crankbaits, all of the shallow crankbaits, every color, every size.
And you can pull out and switch.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going to put things in it to where it's going to force, like, I force myself to use that stuff to broaden the way I think and the way I fish are two different. Like, I know how I should fish and how I end up fishing. I don't really like the way it sizes, so it meets together. So I'm putting stuff in that drawer, in the top drawer, not the bottom one.
Yeah.
To pull out, to just look at it, and just stop being stubborn and tie it on.
Right.
And go do it.
Right. That's a good way to look at it. To broaden your knowledge of fishing, you have to narrow it down first.
When they say lock something in your hand and go out and just use only that, that's what I'm doing now. Like, I'm taking only that stuff that I know. Whether I have confidence or not, I'm going to force myself to do it.
Yeah.
I've got to do it.
Yeah. I'm putting more fish in the kayak because of that the last year with that whole concept.
Yeah. It's like there's no more 10, 15, 12 rods for me. No. Hell no.
I gave Stroke Tog down there in Tennessee, I gave him so much fishing lures. I gave him pounds of fishing lures that I know I'm not using. It would take me a year of Sundays to even take each one of those out like I know I should, to build the confidence up in that lure to go, okay, this is exactly when I need to use this one in and all that. There's no way. So rather than even struggle through all that, I literally, there was 10 pounds of lures I took down to him, and they were all maybe slung once, if that. And I was like, here.
You just
and I feel so much better for it.
Fed up with it.
Oh my God.
It's because either you do shitty, like you were saying, the one fish at whatever, 1 or 2 o'clock, or whether you get your limit, whatever the case may be. Regardless, when you get back to your house and you see that pile of shit next to you on your left or your right that you've used and gone through, it's a reoccurring pile. All the rest of the stuff you didn't touch again. It's like, why? Why? You know, I spent money on that, and it's sitting there not getting used. So I just took it all out, put it on a pegboard, and if I want it, I'll grab it, put it in that drawer, and if it goes in that drawer, I'm using it.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
Right.
I mean, it's gotta hit water sometime. It's like, mega bass shit's not cheap, which I don't throw a lot of mega bass.
Right.
I'm just referring to, like, lizards.
You ever caught anything on the big old mega bass monsters, those big swim baits they have? What do they call them?
The mag drafts.
The mag drafts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw
that thing, just is a beast, man. The fish that grabs onto that has got to be just.
Yeah, they make different lengths of them too, different sizes. They're not easy to find.
I was tossing a 6-inch down at the hall, and it's like the launching just. It's like a just a rock on the end of that thing. Whoa!
It's like you're surf fishing at the beach.
Yeah. Splash.
Big ass fish.
Like, yeah, it's,
they're fun. I don't use them near enough.
Right.
But I got them. That's another right. thing. I saw those. I had those with me. Never tied one on. You know, it's just not out on my kayak anyways. Like I have, but it's not my go-to. It's like I'm tired of looking at this stuff or passing it by if I don't use it.
Right.
You know, I'll put it on part of my house.
Yeah. But you gotta have the nice right setup. So speaking of setup, the Proteus, Little Miami Outfitters rod, the 7.3, which is perfect for tossing that big blade Brian Thrift Z-Man chatterbait. It's perfect for that. Well, that's what you would toss one of those big mag drafts on.
Yeah.
That's what I would have to use.
That's the 7.3 it's my favorite personally. I'll throw everything with that. Especially, I love to drag stuff with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because you can feel it pulling and you feel that tip just pulling along and then...
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Jigs work.
Yep. That is a nice rod. So this rod can be found at Little Miami Outfitters. Just Google it, man. $149 for that bad boy right there. And that is one of those rods that you're going, you know what? That's like a $300.
Yeah, I sold quite a few guys on them on the, well, I didn't, social media that done at the Chick, since we were down there for the Hobie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how after every event, guys will, you know, start inquiring and send, like, asking thing about them, and, like, any info, I just give the same thing, I'm like, I can only let it speak for itself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, man. So I've had a lot of fun with that. I had a hard time finding a good rod to pull that bigger bait with. So I set that up, and man, it feels good. Absolutely feels, I'm excited. You can really feel that tip real well. It's got the backbone, just sets it deadly.
It's a quick set, too.
It doesn't
take long to load it.
No.
It's a fun rod.
And it holds it, too.
And I was at a Cowan, was that Monday or Tuesday? Did you ever hear that? When that floral like stretches, go bing 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 bing. I brung the wood to probably 2 pounds, and it had that twine to it because I upgraded everything. I broke off so many fish.
Yeah.
That last CKF thing, I was so pissed. So I just upgraded everything again, line wise. It's so fun.
Right.
To just barrel into them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best one ever.
I did horrible at CKF, man. Halfway through it, man, I couldn't feel my ass. I'm at that age now where I literally have no ass left. And so I'm sitting on my Hobie Pro Angler 14 and my ass went so numb I couldn't feel my legs.
It hits me in the hamstrings. Like, they'll go, past that bar.
Right.
It's a comfy seat, though. Don't get me wrong, but I know what you mean.
I mean, I have to put, a lot like Steve Tasey, he agreed. And he does it too. I have to put a seat cushion down there. Because it's just bone to see.
That's why I got 3 of the kayak cushions.
Right.
It's like a recliner.
Right.
It's like a Sunday chair.
You got 3 that you use?
Hell yeah. 2 for the ass, 1 for the back.
So you're sitting up pretty elevated too then.
It's like sitting on phone books.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Carol Williams on Channel 9 News. She sat on phone books.
You got to keep that posture. At a 90, bro.
You're right. Well, that'll actually add to the pressure on the cranks.
Exactly.
When you got your back supported like that, if you're losing a lot of, if you feel your back like digging into the seat and you're going whoa, whoa, whoa with your pedals and your grain, you need to straighten it up and you need to stiffen up that back because you're losing a lot of pedal crank.
Yeah, power. I mean, and it's helped. I got the firmer one on my back. It's helped my back out a lot, but I don't have, my back doesn't kill me when I'm in that seat or fishing in general. If I'm standing up is the only time it really sucks, but the twisting around and turning and stuff, that's why I eliminate all that. But I love the cushions.
Yeah.
They're a good addition.
Right. Kayak cushion. Check them out. I don't have a kayak cushion.
You don't?
No.
I know a guy.
I need one. You know a guy who knows a guy?
I know the guy.
Kayak cushion? They actually will custom make those too, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, like custom
made. I had made.
Did you have a Little Miami Outfitter? Yeah. Do you have those for sale?
I do not.
Yeah.
But I sure will look into it.
I at a time. You know, it's like, man, saving one ass at a time, the kayak cushion. So big shout out to Strictly Sailing Kayaks and Blue Ash and American Tackle. We just got a couple more weeks. We're actually going to introduce a youth combo rod and reel for it's an American Tackle setup. It's a spin casting reel, two-piece rod, and it's every purchase of that goes to the Autism for Anglers or Anglers for Autism.
That's awesome.
Thanks. So that's going to be introduced at ICAST.
So you work in the booth, or you just?
I do it all, man.
Do you?
I do. So no, I'll be down there. You know what I'm going to do this year? The last couple times I've been to ICAST, the first year I was so overwhelmed by ICAST and walking around that thing. Mm-hmm. The second year I went down, I had that a little bit more under control. But there is so much knowledge there at the American Tackle booth. Mm-hmm. When you're talking to guys like Gary Benny or Don Morris, right. You know, you're talking to Darren, the vice president, or Joe, the president. Each one of these guys, just spending 15 or 20 minutes with them and picking their brain for that long, you will learn so much about the fishing industry on such a broad thing. So having said that, man, I am going to be glued to the booth for 3 days, and I'm going to do nothing but listen. That's all I want to do. Listen to those guys talk to buyers, to manufacturers, to inventors, to people that got good ideals, people that got bad ideals, you know.
They'll hear them all.
They will, and they'll talk to, you know. Because a lot of people just think, well, American Tackle, you know, they're rod component manufacturers, you know, and that's, man, no, they're actually, if you got like a something that you have made or created and you think it has potential to be introduced into the fishing market, man, American Tackle is like the first place you want to go. They have such knowledge of distribution, of packaging, of
they're connected.
Who's out there and who's not.
Oh my God, yeah. It's insane to know how deep they go into the whole rod industry. I had no idea, honestly. I truly didn't. And you go into any type of an outfitter, like Cabela's, Bass Pro, any of the major ones, like whether it's Academy or whatever, all those rods potentially have something to do with American Tackle. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so I need a lot to learn. This 2022 is going to be dedicated to sitting my butt there at the American Tackle booth and just listening. Man, that's what I want to do and learn. Because now I know. I had no idea what I was getting into the first couple times. Had no clue. Just thought, why are they inviting me
right,
down
why do they
here?
Have the biggest booth?
In the middle of it all.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just like it's all them, which is the only way to do it.
So I'm bummed out, but I can totally understand why they have to do it. You know, the flip-off.
Yeah.
Right? The flip-off is just a classic thing, and I think it actually should be really a sort of a big thing. And inviting all rod makers, you just don't have to be an American Tackle rod maker to be in the flip-off. But the flip-off is basically jig casting, flipping off into a cornhole set. And it's basically all it is, but it really is such a big event down at ICAST that it shuts the place down for the hour that it goes on. Mm-hmm. And you have all of the big ones, all the people that are using these American rod components, the pros that are out there competing in this thing, right? Fitzgerald is the beast. Right, he is the beast. But he has a flipping technique that's just, you can't beat it. It's just so easy. Boop, boop, in and out, boop, boop, in and out, boop, boop, in and out. Right, he's got it down. I bet he practices it. But he's the back champion. And but unfortunately, it shuts ICAST down. And this is on a day when deals need to go down. And so the unfortunate for all the booths that surround the American Tackle booth, their business shuts down.
It's a flex.
It is just
like the Hulk.
It is. And so the kindness of American Tackle saying that we're not going to do that. We're taking into consideration of all the other people, and they're not doing it. So they haven't done it in a couple years. But in the future, it's going to be back. The cup is beautiful, man. It looks like a Stanley Cup. It's just this big Oddcast cup, you know, the flip-off cup. Then we're going to do it upstairs and make it kind of its own event. But look for that in the future, man, the flip-off. So that's always exciting. And a big shout-out to Spike It Outdoors and all the great products that they make. Little Miami Outfitters, Google it, man. And Yak Gadget. Big shout-out to John Thomas and everybody down in Music City. You been down to Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
You like Nashville?
I do. Isn't it a fun town? It's just beautiful, though.
John, Charlie, we got a couch that we can sleep on. Me and Brandon come down there. We fish, like, one of those lakes right up next to Nashville.
Center Hill, I think. It's close. Yeah. It's east of Nashville.
I'd fish anywhere in Tennessee. I don't care.
Yeah, Pickwick, buddy.
I don't care.
Pickwick.
I've never been to Pickwick. Mm,
better put it on your list.
Let's do it. So you're off in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
To St. Clair?
Yeah.
What event is that?
KBF.
The KBF event. Up at St. Clair.
Yep. Right. There's a trail and obviously their usual stuff. It's fun. I mean, St. Clair is fun, but I'm looking forward to it.
Right. That's exciting, man.
Yeah, dude.
This might be your moment.
I love, like I said, I love to go up there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, whether it's you're catching smallmouth.
Right.
Giant smallmouth.
You know, I've caught 2 smallmouth in my whole life.
Yeah, right.
I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The first one, I had no clue.
Oh, no. We gotta get you up there, bud. You will just, you'll have a whole new appreciation for my tackle.
Two.
We gotta get you up there.
First one was a big one, Dale Hollow.
Oh.
It was a monster.
That's where the world record is?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was felt like a world record to me. I didn't know what it was because it was about a 3.5-pound smallmouth. So, you know, they fight. You know, this thing's probably 10 or 15 years old. And it was just fighting me. And I had this, like, really.
The freshwater tuna.
Man, it was a beast. But at the same time, it was like, I think his life was about done, and he was giving up on it, right? He did look like a fish that was just like, just kill me.
Just do it.
Just kill me.
And that sucks because if it didn't put up a fight like what those 3.5, 4, and 5s are saying, it's insane.
Right.
I mean, it's, and to know that you've got 10-pound tests with a hook that they could easily straighten out if they just wanted to. It's awesome.
Damn.
It's all drag.
Is that what you use, 10 pound?
Yeah, pretty much 10, 12. I won't go no higher than 12.
Is that because it's so light, clear water up there?
Mm-hmm. It's lighter. And then it's just, there's nothing like it.
Right.
It's a rush.
What kind of rod are you using?
I'm using that 7.2 medium action Proteus rod.
Okay.
Spin
casting set up?
Yeah, 3 of them. I'm taking 1 bait caster.
Right.
Because there's some nice large. I mean, you catch all the largemouth on the spin cast. You don't really target one or the other. It's majority smallmouth, but there's some nice green fish in there.
Right.
Nice ones. Like, it's fun. You gotta go up there, man.
Good luck on that, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Good luck. And good luck to everybody else who's fishing. How many anglers you got in that?
Well, it's been posted up longer than a week. As far as the last one goes, so I don't even know how it looked. It always has a good show off. There's usually like
100.
No, I don't think there's ever 100, but there's close to 70, right. 80. I do believe.
I haven't done a KBF event in a long time.
Me neither, man. This year was it.
Right. And look at you now.
It was fun. I mean, they used to be fun, but not anymore. But it's all good.
Right. Man, I always had fun at KBF events. I didn't do a lot. I mean, I did. Actually, my first year, I did so many of them. It was nuts. I did every one. That was about the only thing that was out there, though.
Right. That's the only option we had. Right. So, and I think that's when we got a taste of the Hobies. It's like,
So, if you're in the local area and you want to do that kayak bass fishing tournament for the first time, there is no better time now to go on TourneyX. Download that on your smartphone device. That app, TourneyX app, TourneyX. And then just go CKF. And all you need is the Cowan Lake event. You'll see that. Put CKF in the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing in the search, and you'll see the Cowan Lake event. That's coming up the 9th, which is Saturday.
And switch Tourney X back, Wally, please.
What are you doing?
Why did he do that? Why did he make it like Fishing Chaos? That's the only reason everyone hates Fishing Chaos, because it's a pain in the ass to navigate around. Tourney X used to be awesome.
Right. So what? Now, I've never been on Fishing Chaos. What's it doing or not doing?
The last part of that is
chaos.
It makes no sense at all.
I don't want chaos.
Tourney X was smooth. It was like user friendly. Like my wife could go and like follow me and like right there. But now she's like, how do you even do this?
You know what I'd really like for them to change?
What?
Is that when you go into you're scanning from the 30th or 31st of the month down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going down, 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 down. You go all the way to the 1st of the month.
Right.
Right? And that's 100 tournaments in a month easily.
Right.
Right? And you're going through all these tournaments. I'm looking for Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana. And I see like a Kentucky one. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I want to look up the information. Right? So it looks up the information. I'm reading about it. But then when I go back, damn, I got to start at 30th or the 31st again and start scrolling all the way back down again.
I just liked how you could go from
the
states.
How come it doesn't return?
You could go down the states. Like, you could see, like, all the states and all the tournaments were right there in front of you. And honestly, I can honestly say from my past experience on there, I would see something on there and be like, oh, maybe I can go fish that one.
Right.
And go fish it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm looking at saltwater stuff.
Okay, I see. So it doesn't have the states on there?
No, dude, it's completely different.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's like, and sometimes when you put it in the search engine, it doesn't take you to what you just typed in.
Right.
Maybe.
Man, you think those systems just get so overloaded right now?
I heard he was
changing
it back, but I wish he would hurry. I wish he would hurry.
That's funny. Well, big shout out to them guys anyway. Damn it, it can't be easy.
No.
God bless them.
You can't please everyone, but... You know,
sure as the hell ain't gonna be able to
don't
please
fix
me.
It ain't broke.
That's for sure. Well, thanks so much. Anything else?
I'm good, buddy.
Good. Thanks for coming back out.
Yeah.
Let's make this a regular thing.
Let's do it.
You're a hell of a lot smarter when it comes to fishing than I am, so I'll be able to learn something. But thanks everybody for tuning in. John Graves Kayak Fishing, Brandon Palmer from Little Miami Outfitters here, and good luck this weekend. Don't blow your fingers off. And
stay out of those parks, kids.
I mean, if you gotta do the park thing, don't sound like you're getting murdered.
I mean,
I get chills again.
I know, dude.
I'll never forget that sound. It was like sound rape. I was raped. I mean, I will never forget that sound again. Now, I'm not taking rape lightly.
No.
You know, but it was a sound I will never get out of my head again. It was horrible.
I feel for you.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Made for some good social media. Next time I'm TikToking your ass. If I hear anybody out in the parking lot that early morning getting TikTok. Thanks so much. You got any social media you want to shout out?
Instagram.
You got Instagram,
Little
right?
Miami
Little
Outfitters,
Miami Outfitters Instagram.
We're on Facebook too. Yeah.
All right.
All the platforms, you know.
Yeah.
You can start at Twitter. How about that?
Slam that Twitter. Do you TikTok yet?
No.
Okay.
Now we're getting ready to ban it.
We'll get you started on TikTok.
So, yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
All right. I better act quick. We'll just make our own. Hey, thanks so much, everybody. John Graves Kayak Fishing, Little Miami Outfitters, over and out.